everyone. Welcome back to Mercy Talk. This is Melanie Wise.
And this is Jen Otero. And we are on our fourth week of talking through just the area and the issue of abuse here in the month of April. And we are really, really stoked and excited today. We always say excited. We need to come up with some new words. We are exhilarated about today because we have one of our former graduates of the program, as well as one of our staff members, Venus, who has joined us today. She is going to share her story of just overcoming abuse. And I just love when we're able to have folks come in and share their testimony, because often, you know, Nancy talks about how you can't argue with a changed life, that when there is someone that's sitting in front of you who has overcome and is free, you just can't argue with it. You can't philosophize it away, if that's even a word.
I don't think it is, but
we'll go for it. You know, you can't make it go away. It's something to be said that there's power in that. There's power in our testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so we're really excited, Venus, you could come and be a part today.
Thank you.
Yeah, Venus, before we kind of start going into some of the specific questions that we wanted to ask you, kind of relating to abuse and kind of what we've been talking about over these last few weeks, would just love for you to just share your story with us.
Okay. So my name is Venus Gilmore, and I am from Jackson, Mississippi, and I grew up in a Christian home that was Christian, not Christian. My mother would get us up every Sunday to send us to church, but then she'd go back to bed, and it just kind of made me look at her as, you know, something's not right about that. So I grew up understanding spiritual principles, but not necessarily understanding just a real relationship with God. And so I just kind of had this idea that I was in control of my own destiny, and I was going to do my own thing, and I didn't need God. And unfortunately, life proved me wrong. So at probably 19, I ended up getting pregnant with a set of twins and had an abortion. And at that point, I think that God was really moving in my life. Even in all of the craziness of that, God was really, I knew God, I understood God, I understood just godly principles, and I just kind of ignored them. And I think that even still, God was pushing through all of that. And so at 21, after having the abortion, I was like, screw it, whatever. I'm just going to walk away from God. I'm going to walk away from life, everything I believe, and just let life do whatever it was going to do. And I just really didn't care. And I ended up going into a relationship with a man who was about 20 years older than I was at the time, and it turned out to be one of the worst mistakes of my life. For 4 years, I was basically trapped in a relationship with a man who brutalized me on every level and just did not know how to get out of it until my praying aunt rescued me. Basically, true story, kidnapped me from the situation. And from then on, my life has been in a place where I just could not even imagine that I could ever be. And it was because of the help of just my trust and belief and strong foundation in God, and just somehow finding the path to mercy and just allowing God to do what he was going to do for me.
Yeah. So Venus, we know that you came to Mercy and you were a part of our program, but if you could hit a little bit on what were some of those root issues that abuse brought out in your life, and what was your time at Mercy like in regards to just getting healing in regards to those root issues?
I think if we're going to talk about root issues, I have to go back to just even how I was brought up. There was this, I always call them dual sisters or twin sisters of insecurity and confidence. And I had both of them, and I don't know necessarily where either one of them came from, but I had an insecurity in who I was as a person and my value as a person and my value in God. And I think that from that insecurity maybe sprang a false security of who I was. And maybe I was, you know, I often thought of myself, I love mythology, and I often thought of myself as sort of the mistress of my own domain. And, you know, I was, my name is Venus, which, you know, is the goddess of beauty and love. And so I, you know, kind of thought of myself as this, not necessarily as Venus, but, you know, in this kind of mythological place, I am stronger than my background, and I am stronger than where I came from, and I can overcome anything on my own terms, and I don't need anybody, and I especially don't need God, and I don't need man to help me with anything. And I think that that really set me up to psychologically to just be vulnerable to just what the world and what life threw at me. I was completely unprepared for relationships. I was a virgin until I was about 17 or, well, actually, I was, well, 17 or 18 years old. And so I had not really dated. I was not necessarily the bad girl growing up in high school. And I mean, I was a smart aleck, but I wasn't necessarily like, you know, the bad girl. So there weren't any true markers that would let anyone know that I'd be going into what I went into, or that what was going on inside of me was happening. So I think that just having those ideas kind of led me into this thing that even if I got into trouble, I could get myself out of trouble. So I was pretty much depending on myself to be the strong person and do what I needed to do to get my life where I needed to go, no matter what I needed to do.
So what do you think? Because that had to have been something else, being in a place where you're like, I am Miss Independent. I got this knocked down. I got this dealt with. I'm in this long-term relationship that's extremely abusive. I'm kidnapped out of it by my praying auntie. And now I'm at mercy. I mean, woo! That had to have been something else. So what do you feel like? I mean, you're on the back end, you know, and you are someone that shares about mercy and the work we do here often, you know. What do you feel like are some of the biggest things that you took out of that season at Mercy and your healing?
And I kind of want to step back a little bit, because I feel like that even though I was set up just by those ridiculous notions, that in that personality, God clearly gave me that personality. And even in the midst of all of the abuse, I knew that there was something better. Right. I just had this, I don't know what it was, and I can't even explain to you today, 20 years later, I cannot explain to you what it was that let me know that there was something higher than what I was dealing with, than the experience that I was having. Coming to Mercy basically solidified everything as far as what God has given to me, as far as the personality that I was born with, as far as that, whatever that that confidence was. Mercy solidified that for me. Mercy, I always say, is the place where I grew up understanding godly principles, and I grew up in the church. Mercy is the place that I met God. And I mean the true relationship of God, the true essence of God in me. And it was where I started to understand who I was, and, you know, that I did have faults, and being able to forgive myself, being able to forgive my mom for, you know, not being the mother that I felt like she should be, forgive my dad for, you know, not being the stand-up dad who I needed in my life, forgive myself for allowing, you know, a man to come into my life and completely dominate me. So I have to thank Mercy for just opening my mind up to, you know, the person that God created me to be. And it was not some weak, wimpy little woman who was going to be abused for the rest of my life.
Right. That's great.
Really good. That is reminding me of something that we've really hit on in the last couple of weeks here. And that is the power of forgiveness, especially for someone who's walked through abuse, and what a pivotal point that has been for so many people as far as in their journey to healing. Man, when forgiveness entered the picture, things started to really shift for them. So just what did that specific piece look like for you as far as dealing with forgiveness? You mentioned with your mom, with your dad, with yourself, but also what did that look like as far as forgiveness towards your perpetrator and your abuser?
Well, I just had such hate and rage in my heart and in my spirit for such a long time towards him, and even towards the way I grew up. And I think that I've mentioned this a lot, and I don't mean to, because I definitely take personal responsibility for every choice that I've made. And that was something that I chose to do, to go into that relationship. But there were, again, markers that led me into, you know, onto that path. But there was such hate and rage in my life that I had to find a way to get over it. And I can't even tell you that 20 years later that I'm over it. I mean, I still have, you know, memories and flashbacks, but it's not something that I allow to dictate who I'm, you know, who I am and what I'm going to do tomorrow. Or it's not, you know, I still get flashes and I still have dreams and I still have, you know, visions and, you know, nothing near what it was like when I first came out of that situation. But, you know, every once in a while and somebody will bring it up and, you know, I find myself forgiven over and over again, you know, and it's, I don't necessarily forgive him now, but I have to forgive every moment of abuse now. I have to forgive every instance and, you know, every time I remember, or if I'm watching television and I see something, I'm like, oh God, yeah, I remember something like that happened. And so now instead of having to forgive him for it, I have to kind of use the tools that, you know, Mercy gave me, and the equipment that I have in my own life and my own being to say, but I'm not there anymore and that's never going to happen and I'm okay. And it's so funny just working with the residents, and I adore being able to work there and to even share some of my experiences. And I really try not to share a whole lot of them, but just to kind of share my experiences with them. And one of the things that they struggle with is a lot of flashbacks. And I just always want to tell them that, you know, flashbacks can't hurt you, you know, and just share with them that even 20 years later that I still get, you know, just the flashes of past, but those flashes, I'm okay. I have to remind myself I am okay and I am in a good place. So I think that the things that I have been able to learn at Mercy, I've been able to kind of share them with the residents that I'm working with today.
Jen, that makes me, as she shared that, makes me think of what you shared last week, just about how forgiveness truly is an ongoing thing. And it doesn't mean that if you have to forgive again today that you didn't forgive yesterday. But as you said, I loved it. Just realigning, realigning my heart, my mind with forgiveness. And so knowing that you've even mentioned like 20 years later, I still have to keep realigning my heart. But it doesn't mean that you didn't forgive.
Right.
It
right.
just means that you're bringing yourself back into that place.
And so, that when those flashes and those things that come, we know that's not God. We know that's the enemy.
Yeah.
And so there's that place of authority of like, you know what, when that stuff comes up, I have a choice, like Venus was saying, to put my tools to work. I have a choice how long that flash is going to hang around. I have a choice of how much that's going to dictate to me where I stand today, 20 years later. And it can be a flash or it could be a week. I get to choose that, you know? So to really be able to stand firm in just our authority and not allowing that stuff to stick around. Venus, oh, I just love everything you're sharing. And like I've always said, there's such a power when we're able to share testimony. You know, Mel and I sit in here and we talk through different facts and our comments and our thoughts, but there's just something that's so powerful when you're able to share story. And so one thing I know that I've seen for a long time as a counselor is that, you know, when you walk through abuse, there's a reality of being a victim. But there's also a choice that we have along the way in our healing process as to whether or not we remain a victim, that we get to choose whether or not, like you said, that's going to continue to dictate who we are and where we go and how far we're able to go in life. And the choice to shift out of that victim mentality into being a victor. Is there any thoughts you have on that just from your own story?
Yeah. And actually, I have a couple of stories if I can share
them.
Sure,
please do.
So, and it goes back to kind of what I said about just having that confidence, that God-given confidence that I've had since a little girl, that was sort of that dual personality of having all of the insecurities and I deserve this versus, you know, you don't deserve to do this to me.
Right.
And even in the midst of all of the abuse, I just kept, and I know that it was God, but I just kept the thought in my head that you don't have power over me and you don't deserve, you may have my body, you may be able to control my body, but you cannot control my mind.
Right.
And that was just sort of my battle cry. I remember the day that I actually said that to the guy that I was in the relationship with. And I just remember the look on his face. He was so stunned that I would be so bold to even say that to him.
Right.
But I just remember feeling something break there. And it was pretty quickly after that incident. And it was one of those places where he was just kind of itching for a fight. And he was, it was, you know, one little something that I had did or something that I had said. And he just was going to start going to his rage. And I just remember screaming that at him. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it came from, but I know that it was just the power of God behind those words and the power, you know, the Holy Spirit behind that situation, that kind of just whatever that demonic force was mm-hmm. within him that just backed him off.
Right.
And it shut him down completely. And mm-hmm. it was pretty close to after that happened that the relationship kind of terminated.
Mm-hmm.
The second situation was even coming to Nashville, and because he was sort of stalking me a little bit and trying to find where I was, and so I ended up going into a battered woman shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that just made me so mad was that we had to, and this isn't what angered me, but we had to, you know, take little classes to be in mm-hmm. the shelter. And their model was that, you know, you're batter, you're a victim, you know, you're perpetrator, you know, these words. And I just remember having to go to one of these classes and just speaking out. And this is when I was extremely shy. I'm not shy yeah. anymore.
That has changed.
Yeah, very much so. But I was still really just, you know, kind of battle worn and just really scared of just afraid of the world. But I just couldn't stop myself from speaking out. And, you know, the words I said were that I am no longer his victim.
Yeah, that's so good.
And again, that was one of those things that I just felt like something just broke there. Mm-hmm. Something just, you know, there was a freedom in my words and in that confidence that, you know, that God had given me. And I just kind of took that and ran with it. Mm-hmm. I am not his victim anymore. You know, maybe a day before I was his victim,
mm-hmm.
you know, but in this moment that I'm standing in, I am not his victim, and I will never be his victim again.
That's right, and that I have a choice in that. And
absolutely.
I love, too, that the thought that comes to mind, it's like you had this, there was always this internal compass,
yes.
no matter how bad things were,
yes.
that still was, like, directed towards true north, that there was still this compass towards truth of, like, I'm not a victim, and mm-hmm. this is not God's best for me.
Right,
and
yes.
that there was this knowing, and it just really feels like to me that that was so rooted back to the truth, mm-hmm. that you were raised in church, and
right.
even though it wasn't a perfect situation, and there were so many seeds of truth in you that the mm-hmm. Lord and the Holy Spirit was still able to stir up and remind mm-hmm. you, yes, you've got crazy insecurity and a lot of things you need to overcome. But ultimately, there was just this knowing of
right.
like, I'm better than this, and I'm not a victim, and I don't have to stay in this situation. Mm-hmm. And to see that the Lord was so faithful, even in the midst of that abusive situation, mm-hmm. for you to still go, yes, there's things that I know that even my circumstances can't yeah. cause me to fall away from, which is just so, so cool. I love that.
And that praying on.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So true. Well, Venus, as we get ready to wrap up, I always like to ask our guests if there's any last thoughts you have. Because as I have said, you know, the folks that are listening are either helping mm-hmm. or perhaps they're overcoming or have overcome, and maybe they've got some new areas. Mm-hmm. Or do you know a lot of people have dealt with abuse? Mm-hmm. So do you have any other last words of encouragement that you'd like to share?
Yes. You know, when you're in the midst of that situation, you just don't know where you are. You don't know where your head is, where your heart is. You know, your body is in a different place. Your life is just in a different place. It's just completely torn up. But being able to come out on the other side of it, I'm able to look back and recognize just some of the decisions that I've made and some of the decisions that other people have made in my life. And I've been able to use that to work with organizations like Mercy, to work mm-hmm. with organizations like the YW, to work with organizations like Morning Star. And these are all organizations where I'm dealing with and working with abuse victims. And I'm mm-hmm. able to not only share my experiences with them, but share just the mind freedom and
yeah.
how I was conditioned in a way and how I had to uncondition my mind. And I also had to forgive myself. I had to mm-hmm. walk through amazing forgiveness towards myself, and I had to walk through amazing forgiveness towards God.
Yeah, that's huge.
I had a lot of resentment towards God mm-hmm. because I felt like, you know, if I am your child and if you love me, mm-hmm. why are you allowing me to go through this?
Yeah.
And I had to be able to understand where all of that came from mm-hmm. and understand the true meaning of who God is and my true relationship with God
yeah.
and take personal responsibility mm-hmm. for the choices that I've made. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I can blame my perpetrator, and he had his faults, and he was wrong for what he did. But I personally have to take responsibility for where I was, the choices I made, and where I am, and I've got to learn from them.
Yeah, and to continue to make those choices every single day.
Yes.
I love it because you just hit on something that we've been talking about for 3 weeks, is that the reality and the importance, and I feel like that's just been the Lord continuing to bring that up every time we have this conversation, is the importance of forgiveness towards others and ourselves, but ultimately that unforgiveness towards God.
Yeah, absolutely.
That when you walk through a place of abuse, it's one of the biggest struggles and one of the biggest places that people can get stuck is, where were you, God, and how did you allow this to happen? And to continue to encourage our listeners to be willing to go to that place with Him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to really be just gut level honest with the fact that I'm angry with you and I don't understand how you could have allowed this to happen. But when we give Him that space, He's so faithful to come in and to really heal us, you know?
And He's been so faithful to me in the last 20 years. I've never, ever experienced any other kind of abuse. I've been everything that I, as a child, dreamed about, you know, going to college. I was able to finish school and I was able to, you know, get professional jobs, and I was able to just be able to be the person that, you know, as a 5 or a 6 or an 8 year old that I dreamed about becoming.
That's awesome.
I've been able to see those dreams come true, and it's because God's faithfulness. And within that time of abuse where I felt like my life had stopped, God was like, no, there's more than this.
Yeah. And how He takes those ashes and makes beauty
from
them. I mean, just thinking of all the places I know mercy, but the other ones that you've listed that you've now taken your story and your testimony, and it's a powerhouse for you able to go in and to help others heal and to recognize there's hope, that you don't have to stay in that abusive relationship, but also to be stay under what that abuse says about you.
Absolutely. Yes.
It's so awesome.
One of the passions that God has given me is to just share my experiences, not just to share it for, you know, any kind of glory, because there's no glory in this, but to share it so that I can help the Mercy Girls. And I hope and pray that that's what I do, is, you know, share it so that I can be able to free them from any guilt or condemnation that they might feel coming right out of those relationships and situations.
Oh, so. That's so good. Well, Venus, thank you so much. This has just been another opportunity for you to share your story and to encourage, and not just our Mercy Girls, but all of our listeners. So thank you again so much for everyone for joining us again on Mercy Talk this week. I just want to encourage you, lastly, before we wrap up, to check out our website at mercymultiplied.com. We have a ton of different resources, freedom tools. We've got free downloadable books. You can always listen back to the last couple of weeks of our podcast. I think they'd be really encouraging to you. So thanks again so much for being part of our time, and we hope you have a great week.